Good afternoon. Welcome to the 330 Sports Show. Today is Tuesday, April 23rd, 2024. Joe Danier is out of screen, but he's jumping in here soon. I'm Justin Coffin. We are going to talk mostly about checking with the Cleveland sports scene, a pulse on the obviously the Guardians playing well, the Cleveland Cavaliers playing well. The NFL draft is this week. We got the Browns don't have a first round pick, but they do pick, I believe, 54. We'll talk about them a little bit. We're going to talk a little bit about Cleveland sports villains, not villains that are on Cleveland teams, anti-heroes sort of for the Cleveland fan. So we'll talk a little bit about
every Cleveland
them.
Fan, somebody just popped into your mind. 100%.
There is, you know, if you're a Browns fan, you probably immediately have like a Steeler in mind. If you're like, you know, a Guardians fan, maybe you have someone past, present, or maybe even future in mind. And the Cavs, there's definitely one that has come to the forefront over the last couple games. So we'll talk about him. And there's definitely, like Joe said, there's probably a couple that pop right into your mind right away. So that's kind of what we're going to do to start today. Really quick, because I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on baseball, but I do want to lead off, see what I did there, with baseball. And we are going to start with the Cleveland Guardians because they are playing the best. I believe them and the Braves have roughly the same record. I think the Braves might be 16-7 or 17-6. So basically the best record in all of baseball. The Guardians right now have the fourth best ERA at 3.03 ERA, and their batting average doesn't look impressive, but 257 in April, not bad. That's good for sixth overall. But you can see they have a 3.5 game lead in the division over the Tigers, the Royals. The Twins are already 7.5 back, and the White Sox are one of the worst teams in baseball. Look at that record, 3-19, 13 games back of first place already. So not a good look for the Guardians there. Here's a look real quick at their upcoming schedule. They, you know, took care of business with a sweep against Oakland on Sunday. They were off yesterday. They open up a homestand with the Red Sox tonight. So tonight, tomorrow, and Thursday. And then they will travel down to face the other best team in baseball, the Atlanta Braves, for a weekend series coming up. So, Guardians, obviously, they're down with one of their best players, Shane Bieber, but they have bounced back in adversity. They've done a nice job as a pitching staff. Bullpen's been great. So knock on wood. I know some of those games have been against Oakland, but they've also knocked off Boston. They've also knocked off some other good teams in that run. So good for them, and hopefully they keep it rolling. So
I really think that of all the Cleveland teams, Guardians have the best recruiting and having depth. You know, they don't go after just like one superstar that makes the team. They have so much talent on that team where they're contenders, or at least, you know, threatening to be contenders every year.
There's a couple things that helps them. One, they're not in a very good division, so that helps them. They're in the kind of the opposite situation as the Browns, whereas the Browns play in the best division in football. The Guardians probably play in the worst division in baseball. However, when that allows you to bring up these young guys. They have a lot, like you said, they're recruiting all this young talent from college, from these other places, and they're playing a ton of young guys. They might, I don't know that the age depth in baseball, but they have one of the youngest rosters in all of baseball, and they are allowing that talent to develop while also winning games. So I was not expecting much out of this team. I was expecting kind of a 500 season up and down, but you know, they keep this going. They play 500 the rest of the way. They're probably in the playoffs. They're 10 games over 500. So
and you notice Guardians, they play like a horizon that's years, and the Browns play a horizon that's like hours.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. So let's get right into this anti-hero thing, and I'll tell you why I'm doing this. It has to do with the Cavs, but we're gonna start with one. Do you have anyone that pops into your mind if I say, so think of, like, you know, in Ghostbusters, they're like, think of a villain, and whatever the first thing to pop in your mind, and it's the, for Ray, it's like the Stave Puff Marshmallow Man then comes and destroys the town. But like, if in Cleveland, and it could be, and I'm going to open it up to you. You can pick anyone, football, baseball, basketball, on another team. It doesn't even have to be a player. It could be anyone. It could be someone that has been involved with Cleveland. Does anyone pop in your mind immediately?
Of course. I got a runner up and a like the worst person on the planet.
Go for it.
All right. Antonio Brown's the runner up.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And John Elway is the super villain of all time.
That, and those are two great names right there. Antonio Brown wasn't even on my radar, but that's a really good pick.
The kicker, dude. Come on. The kicker. Yeah,
that's true. He literally like jumped. You know, he karate kidded the kicker,
defenseless kicker. Yeah. And he takes his aggression.
Was not even on my radar. That's a solid pick there. So I'm going to start with a guy that's not liked by most Guardians fans, since we just talked about the Guardians. That'd be Tim Anderson. And last year, this is where the fight with Jose Ramirez, who's probably the most liked athlete in all of Cleveland sports, or if he's not one, he's number two. So I'm going to start with him. Then we're going to switch to football. I had some people online say some stuff. Last night I posted who has the most punchable face, one of the guys that's coming up, or Mason Rudolph. More people picked Mason Rudolph, surprisingly, but Mason Rudolph, pretty unlikable guy, even though he doesn't even play for the Steelers anymore.
Now, these
anymore.
Your picks these or are my, the overall?
These are just mine. So these are just mine. I would love to know what other people think, because, like I said, I had a list of four, and then I took some other thoughts that other people had and added to my list. So Mason Rudolph was definitely in my top Mount Rushmore, I guess you could say, of current. And I just put it out there, current athletes, because if you go back, there's John Elway, like you said, there's there's a whole bunch of others. A lot of people didn't like Michael Jordan, you know, because he was so good. I was on the other side where I love Michael Jordan unless he was playing against the Cavs, kind of thing. So Mason Rudolph definitely won. The next guy, Minka Fitzpatrick, and here's why. One, I think this guy is a dirty, dirty player. He's very good. I give him that. He was a former first-round pick of the Dolphins that went to Pittsburgh. But this is the guy who took out Nick Chubb's knee this past year. And, that's not the only play. You can go find some other plays. And then this next guy wasn't on my radar until a couple of people pointed it out. One person even sent me a video of this next guy twisting Joe Bitonio's knee. And he's one of the best defensive players in the league, TJ Watt. But to me, those are the Pittsburgh Steelers on my list. I didn't have any Baltimore Ravens. I didn't have any Cincinnati Bengals on my list. But those were my top football guys on my list. Thoughts on those guys?
So not on those guys specifically, but I only really got mad at one player this last year. And I can remember like looking and scowling at the TV, and that's that Minshew guy.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Stupid little dance. Dipshit Minshew was all cocky, right? Coming off the bench, lighting it up. Then he started having a bad game, and all that dancing disappeared because he's a dipshit. And you need to stop celebrating. Be a noble guy. Win the game. Stop that stupid cocky.
Okay. Okay. So Joe, not a big fan of Gardner Minshew, who is, will play this year again. He is now, I believe, the quarterback of the Las Vegas Raiders. So
I'll hate him then too.
We'll see him this
year. I'll always remember you.
Here's another guy who a lot of people hate in Cleveland, Draymond Green. And for various reasons, I think a lot of people on that are Golden State fans are starting to hate this guy because he kind of derailed their season, getting in fights and doing stupid shit all season long. So he is definitely one on my list. Another basketball player, Kelly Olynyk. And this goes back to 2015 for me, because I think if this guy doesn't, and this is when he was playing for the Boston Celtics, if he is the one that locked up Kevin Love's arm and ripped it out of the socket. And Kevin Love missed the rest of the playoffs. And then we all know the Cavs made it to the NBA Finals. Kyrie Irving gets hurt in that game one. The Cavs still go up 2-1 against Golden State. But LeBron had to do everything. No Kevin Love, no Kyrie Irving, and no Kevin Love. Kevin Love would have been a great, great outside shooter in that series, good rebounder. And that really hurt the Cavs. And I think the Cavs, if they had that second top level player at the time. You got to think Kevin Love in 2015 was still in his peak. So Kelly Olynyk makes my shit list here. And then another one, this is the man of the moment, Franz Wagner. And there's a couple it's reasons.
Wagner, come on, you ain't fancy. You're Wagner.
Wagner, yeah. What is he? He's Beethoven's next in line there with the I mean, I will say him and his brother, his brother plays on the Orlando Magic as well as him. He has Maurice or Mo Wagner, he goes by. But Franz, and then that dirty stash he's got. And I might have taken it a little too far when I made a comment like, this guy looks like he's from 1940s Germany yesterday. You know, and just maybe insinuating something, but he's probably not that bad of a guy. But
he's got that Adams family thing. You know, if he had the pinstriped suit, that's him.
Yes. Yeah. And just to me, he's very unlikable. He complains about every call. He's a little bit of a cheap shotter. And the Cavs, I will say, because they got a little bit bullied by the New York Knicks last year, lost in the first round of the playoffs. They came out this year and they set the tone. They were the more physical team. And then Franz Wagner, whatever you want to call him, comes out. I think, I can't remember the exact play. I think he bumped Darius Garland or one of the players. And then Isaac Okoro and another player ended up, you know, kind of give them a little bit of a cheap shot later in the game. And good on them, because playoffs, you have to establish the more physical team generally wins. And Franz Wagner has just become one of my least liked athletes. And that's the cool thing about NBA playoffs, because during the season, you know, you play three or four games against these teams a year. If they're a Western Conference team, you play them twice. But you don't really see these guys a whole lot. But now in the playoffs, you know you're going to see them four straight games or five straight games or six or up to seven straight games. You really can develop a dislike for some of these players. And Wagner is right up there at the top for me. So,
all right. So I got a topic for
yeah,
you.
Yeah.
All right. So these athletes, even your worst NBA player, baseball player, football mm-hmm. player, they are prime. Like they
yeah.
are good.
Oh, yeah.
So part of the game is more of a psychological thing. Mm-hmm. The mind games, the shit talking.
Yeah.
The physicality is meant to like just take a percentage off of your opponent. Mm-hmm. Right. And so these players almost have to be the biggest dicks in the room in order to, you know, go against someone who's of equal talent to yeah. them. And so, like, I don't know, you know, let's just say you have a nice guy, Manny Ramirez, or, you know, some of those people who are eternal, they'd almost be at a disadvantage in today's game because of how much of that psychological plays into the game.
That's true. And did you ever hear I'm trying to think who said it, but like sometimes in certain, not in basketball, maybe in football, when you're sometimes the less cerebral person, this is well the kindest put. Way I can
well
say it,
put.
Might have an advantage because they're literally not thinking, they're just playing.
Yeah.
They just see ball, get ball type thing.
Yeah.
Whereas like if you're an overthinker, sometimes that can affect you, like a mind game type for situation sure. where you overthink yourself, or you maybe aren't as aggressive, or maybe you're worried about getting hurt or something like that.
Well, whereas, if you ever get a chance to watch one of the docuseries where they mic up some of the players and hear really what they say when they're on the field,
yeah,
that's all they're trying to do is get in your head, get mm-hmm. you distracted and whatever. Like,
oh, yeah.
I don't know how I could, like, some people might be able to take that and get all fired up because mm-hmm. of it. I don't know if I could do that. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, your shoe's untied. I'm yeah. like, is it? Yeah. I don't know. I gotta look.
Well, to me, these last couple years of the Cavs, they've been kind of like the nice team. They've been like, they're very likable on and off the court. You know, but this year they had it a couple guys that are like a little bit of shit talkers. And the Magic players were saying after last night's game that the Cavs bench was chirping at them the whole game. I think that does play a psychological factor.
Heck yeah.
Whereas the Cavs are a little bit in Orlando's head. Now, does this mean the series over? Absolutely not. But I think the Cavs have the early advantage. Obviously, they're up 2-0, but they're in the Orlando's head, where Orlando's the less experienced team here. The Cavs have you know, went through a little bit of a battle last year in the playoffs. They lost to a tougher team last year. And the Cavs are like, okay, we're the more talented team. We're the more physical team. And now we're going to take it to that psychological level and talk a little bit of shit too. And like, we're not going to let you push us around. We're going to be the aggressors. We're going to get after you. And then if somebody like a Wagner starts talking his trash, starts pushing us around, we have a couple enforcers that can come back. And kind of like in hockey, there's always that guy with like no teeth that's like, you know, he's the enforcer on the ice. If you go after a Donovan Mitchell or one of the Cavs' best players, that player is strictly put into the game to screw to with you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So like he's going to go set a hard screen, come down with a hard foul, whatever it might be. And, you know, in basketball terms, if that guy gets ejected, it's like he did his job, right? You know, like in sports, you know, I am not the kind of guy that wants to see anyone hurt. You know, I don't want to see anyone injured, especially serious. You know, if they get knocked on their ass and whatever, that's one thing, but you don't want to see anyone hurt. But it's nice to put a little bit of fear in your opponent.
All right. So you're playing a sport. Name your sport. Just think of it.
Yeah.
Are you Cobra Kai? Are you Miyagi Dojo?
Oh, I am currently?
Yes.
The way it's instilled in the show Cobra Kai?
No, the original Cobra Kai was the dominating in your face, intimidation, physicality. And Miyagi was all about the ritual and the nobility and whatever,
This is a tough question because you're talking going back to like the mid 80s Karate Kid. I think Daniel's a freaking villain in that show. He's always like the nice guy, always like the he starts a lot of shit.
Yes.
Whereas Cobra Kai comes out and they enforce it. Now, did Cobra Kai have their villains? No doubt. And especially that Terry Silver guy. He's a piece of trash. You know, he's still a piece of trash on the new show.
Yeah.
But if
talking sweep the leg, right? Versus wax on, wax off.
I'm a wax on, wax off more philosopher. I'm the gentler of the two. I'm not out to hurt anyone, but I'm out to beat you at your own game. So
we're gonna cut this out for a reel. You admitting that you're a wax off guy. You're
please
done.
Put wax on, wax off. No, so
creative editing. BJ noted.
Just why the wax off. Make sure when the captions come up, it's WAX off too.
Well, they can interpret it however they want. If Justin says wax off, they can take it whatever they want.
Moving on. Game, set, match. The Cavs will play game 3 Thursday night in Orlando. That game is on NBA TV. By the way, there was a whole lot of people in Cleveland not very happy last night because if you're someone like me and you have YouTube TV, the game was locally blacked out. You could not watch it on NBA TV because it's on Bally Sports, which is another separate app you got to pay. I believe it's $19.99 a month for. Luckily, I have a DirecTV login account so I can log into that. So I was able to watch the game. But there were a whole lot of people that were really upset last night because they're like, oh, I got YouTube TV. The game's on NBA TV, which is under YouTube TV. It's under the umbrella. So you go to watch it and you put it on. And then that little eye in the middle says it's like blocked out locally. It's like, what the hell is that? That's frustrating. Mm. I don't know. Like, so to me, if I'm playing in my day, if I'm going to work, I don't know like what it's on. So I will say for anyone that was mad last night, plan ahead for Thursday because Thursday is going to be another one of those games where it's going to be on NBA TV or Bally Sports. So you're going to want to plan ahead where you're not maybe shut out of watching that game.
All right. I got a question for you. Let's just say no more subscriptions to channels. As a viewer, you have to pay $1 per game that you watch across all sports. You want to watch a game, pay $1.
Even if you watch like just a couple plays.
You buy the game.
Okay.
You buy the game for $1. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you would spend more money in paying a per game thing than if you subscribe to channels?
Yes. Yes.
You watch that many games?
I'm a clicker. So like I flip back and forth. Like last night I watched the Cavs, then I watched the end of the 76ers Knicks game, and then I watched a little bit, I didn't watch the end, but I watched a little bit of the Lakers Denver Nuggets game last night. So that's only $3. Whatever. That's $3. But if you do that for just say 1 week, that's $21 right there. You do that for a whole month, you know, you're at what, $84?
So well, how many sports subscriptions do you have, and how much are they?
Well, I have YouTube TV.
Okay.
I think that's my only, I think that's my only sports one because
no
I have
NFL.com. No,
nope.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I don't. I do have other people in my family that have that. So if needed, like they have the Red Zone package or whatever, where I could, or Sunday Ticket, where I could go over and watch it there. But generally, that's like two or three games at most per year. What's like the Browns, or like the, maybe the Steelers are on instead of the Browns in the Youngstown market.
So how cheap would a game have to be for you to prefer the buffet model?
Oh man. That's a good question. That's a really good question. I think $1 for football is fair. For basketball or baseball, baseball is 162 games. So it's like, I have actually watched a lot of Guardians games this year, but I don't know. I wish I would want more of like the season package, because then like an a la carte thing, I think I would need to sit down and break down the numbers. Because I don't have a good answer for you there.
Because I believe that that's the way it's going to be in the future. Mm-hmm. I think that they're every league is going to make their own app and have their own, you know, subscribers, and they're going to try to distance themselves from network television for that. So us, we have to figure out like what we're really willing to pay for that. Like the NFL ticket is reasonable. I wish it was worth a little bit less. Maybe $100 a year would be.
What is it like? Is it like 400?
200 okay. something, okay. 250 or okay. whatever. But I if you watch a lot of football, totally worth it, because you're going to get a lot of value out of watching every game. Because I'm with you. I watch, you know, six games on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. You know, paying per game would be pretty up there.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I don't know what the answer is, because there's some weeks where I'm like, I'm just. Like maybe you're tired from the work week or whatever, you want to watch your team, and then it's like, that's good. I'm good. But there's a lot of times where I will watch, you know, 5 minutes of this game or 10 minutes another, sometimes to just get a feel for what's going on, or like, you know, even like with, you know, like the women's basketball tournament that was going on, I was watching some of the Iowa games because I was interested, the Caitlin Clark stuff. So if I had to pay for each game, maybe I'm not watching it, but because I can check in, I'm more apt to watch it. Whereas maybe I'm like, oh, Knicks Sixers, like, do I really want to spend $2 to watch this game? No, you know, for like 5 minutes, you know. So like I don't
that's
know.
A good idea, like give like a peak pass where you spend $20 a month and you can watch up to 5 minutes of any channel and not have to pay for the game.
Or how about they just let me watch everything, because I'm already paying like $80.
No, I'm saving you the $80. All right, so you only pay for what you consume.
So let's go through our subscriptions real quick. I'll just tell you what I have, like off the top of my head. I have YouTube TV.
Yes.
I have Netflix.
All right.
I have Prime, because we have the Prime shipping. I have Disney Plus.
Because you have kids and you have to.
Yep. There's like Indiana Jones and stuff like that on
MGM,
there.
MGM, HBO.
I've Max. Max, okay. Max is accompanying it. Yeah. So I think those are the four I have. Disney, Max, YouTube,
Showtime.
Prime. Showtime's gone. Showtime's under like Paramount or something now. Yeah.
Or Paramount Plus.
Yeah. Showtime's gone. That used to be included. And I think like Stars is under one of those umbrellas now. So there's so many. There's like Paramount Plus, there's Peacock, there's Hulu, there's all this other stuff. It's like, it's confusing. It's confusing. And I don't want to sound like a boomer or anything, but it's like, you know, it's
back
like
back in my day.
Oh, and I have Apple TV. I have Apple TV Plus. So that's five I have for sure. So that's a lot. I bet you the majority of Americans probably don't have more than two.
What's your total on five? If you were to tell you up at $300.
Okay, so YouTube TV. Let's just do some quick math here. 75. Netflix is Netflix like $15 a month? Let's just say 15. 20. All right. So let's say 20. So 90, so 95, right? 75, 95. Prime is included with your yearly subscription. So that's $100 a month divided by 12. So let's say $8. So what are we at? 98, but let's just call it $100 there. Max, I think it's another 20. So that's $120. And then Apple, I'm probably about $140, $150 with there. And then that's like cutting the cord. So you got to pay for your internet. So that's got to be good because you're streaming anything. So that's another 80. So 230 in that range for your high-speed internet and the streaming services.
I think what they could easily do is take the total amount of watch hours divided by what you pay per month and find out what it costs you per minute to watch anything, and then just put a flat rate. They don't care what station you're on, right? You're just going to pay 3 cents a minute, and you're talking to a girl in the Netherlands that will tell you how pretty you are for the whole hour.
Okay.
Different per minute fee.
Okay. Okay. But Here comes another issue then. It's like, are they tracking what you're watching?
Of course they are. That's right now.
Well, the Nielsen stuff I get for ratings and stuff, but it's like, do you want to say like, okay, Joe Danier watches Judge Judy, then an hour of Pornhub, then an hour,
give me good recommendations. You know what I like at AI.
Well, I mean, Netflix does that right now. They know what you like. So there's an algorithm, an AI component built into that, right?
And it's really good.
They actually did an episode of Black Mirror on that earlier where it's like they know what you like, so they cater to what you watch. So each person's screen is based on what they like.
Yeah.
So mine would mostly be
absolutely.
Mine would mostly be sports, news, kids shows. And that's probably about it. Sports, news, and
so if you bring up Facebook right now, look through Reels. What is your go-to delivery? What do you think they're presenting to you? Because I got two of them that I can't get away from. One is freaking golf swings. Like, okay. I have no idea why it thinks I want golf swings so bad, but I'll watch it because I want to know slice or I want to see them hit it.
Have you been watching golf
swings? No, I really haven't, but it thinks I do. And I've been feeding it now because I've been watching what they've been presenting.
Okay.
And number two is, for some reason, throws from the catcher to second base, these awesome tag outs that are like drills, like they hit the second baseman like it's nobody's business. So it thinks I like that kind of stuff. And
yeah,
I kind of do.
Yeah. And like on Instagram Reels for me, or Facebook Reels, which it's the same thing. It's the same company, but I would say it's more like people complaining about shit, which is kind of what I do a lot in life.
You got it right. All right.
And I think it's like dad jokes probably, or like, you know, or like funny videos of like people falling or something like that. That's probably mine. I don't know. Sports stuff's in there, obviously, but you know, I don't know.
Well, I don't live and breathe sports like you do.
You're talking, I'm going to look mine up.
This is sort of my only interaction with sports other than Saturdays and Sundays during football season.
That's fair.
So for Facebook to decide that I need a little sports in my life is the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Like, there are some crazy stuff they could be delivering me that's more relevant. Why it picks sports, I have no idea.
So I just opened my Instagram and I went in the very first reel and I'm like, yes, this makes sense. So it's always like, there's a couple things. There's one guy named Eggs Tyrone. Okay. And so it'll be like a bunch of white people. Let's even get more stereotypical, like a bunch of Italian white people at a wedding. And then they'll be doing some like traditional, let's even say Jewish, Jewish people at a wedding. And then they dub a soundtrack over them dancing. And it's like some like hardcore rap song or something. Or it might be like a couple little kids dancing. And it might be like to like some polka music or something. So that's one thing that gets dubbed at me. Another thing is like a couple, it's like either a guy or a female. And it's like, and he's like, oh, he'd bend down and be like, why does my back hurt? And then it would be like flashback to 2007 and he's like breaking it down, you know, or something like that. So a lot of mine deal with music and like
getting
just make you laugh type things, like quick, quick little 10 second thing. So, but hey, I mean, that's what's in the algorithm. Why not? That's what we do. So,
that was just interesting. I figured.
It's so interesting how the algorithm works, because like sometimes even on this show, I'm like, man, I did a real, like I thought I had a lot of really good content and there was only a couple hundred views or whatever. And then other times I'm like, that podcast was a little weak. I could have done better. I could have done this. And it'll have like 5 or 6 times the number of views. And it's like, well, why? You know, it's like, was it a word I said? Was it something in like in the video? Was it the header? What was it, you know, that does that? And it's like, to me, I don't know. I really don't know. Like I'm not as smart as the algorithm. I'm not, I don't know what.
Well, catches. I will tell you, I will fill you. And I call this the Britney Spears effect.
Okay.
Do you remember Britney back in like the 90s?
Oh, I remember Britney in the 90s. Britney really, Spears and I are the same age.
Really so, sweet, really innocent. The musical expertise is really what sold the brand.
Expertise.
But then people like got used to that and she had to ratchet it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And so Britney Spears 10 years after that was basically naked singing about like, I don't know, pleasuring Satan or whatever that is.
Sure. So some might say at her peak.
At her peak. But the algorithms only care about what you will watch.
Yeah.
And what you will watch is usually the most extreme thing you can imagine. Mm-hmm. So if you talk about something academic or vanilla, it's not as good as Britney Spears.
No.
And what she did to that animal.
No. So that snake around her neck.
The animal,
Yeah. She looked damn good though. So, I mean, there's a lot more people, and I don't blame them. There's a lot more people watching 10 second video reels of Britney Spears than me saying something about the Cavs. You know,
would you ever just dress risque for this show? Would you ever take it to a level that for views sake?
I mean, stranger things have been done.
Okay.
So
just a suggestion.
I mean, it's not completely off the table. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see. Maybe I'll bring in a low cut shirt next week and we'll see what happens.
You think that's going to get him? Your fans out there are just saying, man, I really wish you would show off some chest hair.
Well, okay. So I did an event on Friday night. We had an event for our nonprofit, and Aaron from WFMJ was our MC. And she asked me if we could do like a live spot for WFMJ on Friday night. And I'm like, sure. Let's do this. So the way I took pictures throughout the night, I thought the pictures looked good and stuff, but then I saw the recorded interview on WFMJ, and you know how they say the camera adds like 10 pounds? It's like, how many fucking cameras were on me? I looked terrible. And I'm like, why was that? So I don't know. Sad times. This is sad, Justin, when I saw that. But the interview was good. The content I gave was good. But I was like, man, that angle is piss poor. I looked rough, so. To better things.
So now I'm curious as to what your algorithm delivers after that sob story.
Yeah. You know? It'll bring videos of Celine Dion singing My Heart Will Go On. And
Spanx.
Spanx. I don't need. Well, no, it was like my neck. It wasn't. It was like I looked fine, but it was my neck. It was just a bad angle.
Do they have neck Spanx? I'm sure they do.
I think they're called turtlenecks.
So, next fashion trend. Yeah. I see it in your
oh
future.
Man. All right. Back to the NBA playoff brackets. Real quick check-in. Boston leads Miami. Boston's gonna win that series. They have no Jimmy Butler. They have no Terry Rozier, who Terry Rozier, by the way, grew up here in Youngstown, Ohio, Miami Heat point guard. But game 2 is Wednesday. Cavs are up 2-0. Next game Thursday. By the way, remember, if you have YouTube TV, you might have to watch that game at a local bar or find a friend that has Bally Sports. Milwaukee up 1-0. They play tonight against Indiana. I still like Indiana to win that series. Knicks 2-0. Miraculous comeback last night. Game 3 Thursday against the 76ers. I think that's going to be a battle there. OKC plays tomorrow night against the Pelicans. The Clippers 1-0. They play tonight over the Mavericks. I like the Mavericks to still win that series. Minnesota is up 1-0. They blew out the Phoenix Suns. Game 2 is also tonight. I like Phoenix to still win that series. And Denver last night hits a shot at the buzzer to come back from 20 points down to beat LeBron and the Lakers. They are up 2-0, the defending world champ. So unfortunately for LeBron and the Lakers, that was a tough, tough game, but they played great. And Denver is just an absolute juggernaut. All right, let's switch from basketball. It is NFL draft week, believe it or not. Once again, this is the final year the Browns do not have a first round pick with the Deshaun Watson trade. So this is the final year that that pick conveys to Houston, who actually traded that pick away to, I believe it was the Minnesota Vikings. So here's a look at the draft board as it sits now. Bears 1, Washington 2, Patriots 3, Arizona 4, and the LA Chargers 5. So just look at those five spots. Teams without a pick in the first round, the Browns, the Panthers, and the Texans. Of course, that Panthers pick was supposed to be the number one overall pick, and that went to the Chicago Bears. So the Bears have the first pick and the ninth pick in this year's NFL draft. So there's a lot going on. Obviously, quarterbacks are a high commodity in the draft, and the three quarterbacks everyone keeps talking about, Drake May, Caleb Williams, and Jaden Daniels from LSU. So those three are the top three on most people's boards of who is likely to go 1, 2, and 3. Not necessarily the top three players in the draft, but the top three draft picks most likely to go to either. I'm pretty sure at this point it's locked in that Caleb Williams is going to be a Chicago Bear. If I were the Bears, I would be taking Jaden Daniels, number one. And then Washington would take Caleb Williams, number two. And then Drake May, we'll see where he goes. But in my opinion, I would take Jaden Daniels, number one. I don't know how many people would agree with me on that, but I think Caleb Williams is very good. I think he's a little bit overrated, though. And I think he's a little bit of a diva. And at a quarterback position, you can't have a diva. At the wide receiver position, you can. But, you know, at the quarterback position, I don't think you can at all. So, Joe, I don't know how much you've kept up with this. Sometimes when the Browns aren't drafting, I'm not quite as interested. I don't follow it. But this year's like very intriguing to me because especially I'm not going to even talk about the whole first round. Let's just talk about like the first 5-6 picks here. So there's going to be a lot of quarterbacks that go really early, and it's most likely they're going to go 1, 2, 3. So your thoughts on why quarterbacks go so high? And, you know, to me, and maybe this is a little bit of a homer statement, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in the draft. He's most likely to go 4 to the Cardinals because they don't necessarily need a quarterback. But what's your thoughts overall?
Yeah, a quarterback-centric league, I mean, puts a premium on the quarterback.
Yeah.
And they're so hard to come by. There are so many veterans or backup quarterbacks. And your starter class is just minimal. Like, think of how many really good NFL teams started with somebody who was less than optimal last year. So there needs to be a lot of premium quarterbacks added to this draft.
Well, I heard a crazy, crazy fact. They said 2 years ago, 68 quarterbacks started an NFL game. This past year, 66. So what is that? 134? 134 quarterbacks have started a game. And, you know, some of those guys double up from year to year. But 134 different starting quarterbacks over the past 2 years for NFL teams. You know, there's 32 franchises. So you do the math. That's like a lot.
4 quarterbacks per team.
Well, it's a lot. So basically what this is telling you is everybody's wants their Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is the dominant player in the sport right now. He even stunk a lot during the regular season, and then the playoffs came on, flips a switch. He's Michael Jordan, you know, in the playoffs. So everybody's looking for their Patrick Mahomes. I don't know, you know, like a lot of people with quarterbacks see potential upside. A lot of people see athletic ability. They want the guy that can run, but also, you know, obviously as a quarterback, you got to be able to throw the ball. So Drake May is kind of like the upside guy, like the younger, like he's the biggest of all three of them. He's got the most maybe upside potential in there, but potential is a word that gets people fired. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
well, I think this era of mobile quarterbacks, the RG3s, those guys that can pose that double threat, the injuries that come along with that are just way too risky.
Exactly.
And so a USC quarterback scares the shit out of me for obvious reasons. And so I'm with you that I think that the LSU ahead of a USC any all day.
Jaden Daniels won the Heisman Trophy this year, and maybe I'm putting a little too much stock in it because he had the best wide receivers, maybe outside of Ohio State this year. Actually, probably including Ohio State this year with Malik Nabers and you know a few of the other guys in there. So I'm going to pose this question. How many quarterbacks get drafted in round one? So I think there's four that are absolute locks. Drake May, well, let's start. Caleb Williams, number one. Let's just say Drake May and Jaden Daniels either go two or three. We'll just say that. Let's just say they go one, two, and three. JJ McCarthy, people are talking about going as high as number four or potentially as low as number 11. So I'm curious, how many quarterbacks do you think get drafted in the first round? Now, there's other guys. Michael Penix, who played at Washington, went to the national championship game. Bo Nix played at Oregon, but kind of stunk before that at Auburn. Spencer Rattler started at Oklahoma. He went to South Carolina. Michael Pratt played at a smaller school. Sam Hartman transferred to Notre Dame this past year. Joe Milton, a former Michigan quarterback that went to Tennessee, and he's built more like a tight end than anything. Not all those guys are going in the first round, but I think you're guaranteed to have four in the first round this year. But do you, so I'm going to just basically ask, do you think there will be under four or over four?
Over four.
Over four.
I think four goes in the first four picks. So okay. The chances that one more get in there for the rest, almost 100%.
Okay. So Joe's going over. I think I'm going to go over too, because I think Michael Penix somehow from Washington gets into the first round. I don't know how high he will go, but it's very, very, very interesting. But I've seen like the Steelers even talking about like maybe drafting Bo Nix or Michael Penix. And it's like, I mean, the bust rate on these guys is very high. You know, so unless you have a guarantee, I would rather build the rest of my roster and make it good and go find a Jacoby Brissett as your bridge quarterback until you can find a guy or go trade for a guy. Now, obviously, in Cleveland, we think or thought we might have had that guy in Deshaun Watson. We hope we still do. And that's why you give up that many picks for a guy like that, because these guys just, like, not to sound, again, like a boomer, but these guys don't grow on trees. You know, it's like there's your Patrick Mahomes. There's your, you know, your Aaron Rodgers. Your, you know, you throw out a handful of names. There's probably like 5 to 6 elite quarterbacks in the NFL. And then there's a bunch of like middle guys after that. Your Baker Mayfields, your Gardner Minshews, you know, stuff like that. But
so it's, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
So what are the rules of the draft? If I'm, let's just say I'm sitting five, I'm going to get a premium pick.
Yeah.
Let's just say I don't.
So you're Jim Harbaugh sitting at five. He's picking at five this year.
So let's just say I do not need a quarterback.
Yeah.
Like I got a quarterback, but the best person in the draft is a quarterback at that point. Can I take the quarterback at a premium and offload them for something else before season starts?
That is a great hypothetical situation, because the Chargers actually have a great quarterback. They have one of those elite guys. So underneath Patrick Mahomes, you probably got Justin Herbert, you got Joe Burrow, and you have Josh Allen. Those are probably the next three guys. Justin Herbert is the Chargers quarterback. Would you take JJ McCarthy, if you're Jim Harbaugh, you just coached him in college, and then trade Justin Herbert for a load of draft picks, maybe to a team like the Minnesota Vikings, maybe to another team. There's not a whole the Denver Broncos that need a whole lot of help at that position. But you're also, if you're the Chargers, you're not trading with Denver because they're in your division. but you might trade with Minnesota. So, but it's like, what is a guy like that worth to you?
Yeah. You got to take the best value in the draft because you've got that spot, get the most value.
Yeah.
If you, let's just say you sort of need a tight end, but your tight ends will be available way down the road.
Right.
Like, what are you going to do? Pick your best guy and know you gave up 20 other spots that were better than that tight end.
Exactly. And like you said, quarterback is a premium position. It is the most important position in all of sports. And the difference between, you know, if you think Caleb Williams is the guy and you have that number one pick, you have to take him. But if you think Jaden Daniels is the guy, you have to take him. So it's like, to me, the way it's going to go, this is just my, whoever goes 1 and 2, I think will be in a good situation. But whoever goes to New England picks 3. If New England takes a quarterback, that roster stinks. It stinks. There's no talent. Well, there's talent, but there's not great talent on that team. So you're basically putting that quarterback into a Justin Fields situation where he's going to have no playmakers around him and you're going to struggle. And it's like you're resetting the clock for 4 years until maybe you take the next guy. So I don't know what the answer is, but I think if you think the quarterback is the answer, you got to take him. But we also know at the same time, too, the bust potential is even more.
But there's no draft rule that says I can't draft someone that I really don't need only to offload him before the season
begins. Yeah, no. Those guys go in with a board. They know who they want to pick. And if he's there, he's there. But if someone blows you away with a trade offer, you might want to take it because, like, let's say you're taking an offensive lineman at 5, which is not out of the question for Jim Harbaugh. And maybe he's like, well, we can get another guy for, you know, maybe 3 spots down. That's just a step behind that guy. Whereas if you're trading down from 1 to 4, you know, that quarter, that could be the difference between, you know, having Patrick Mahomes versus having, you know, Johnny Manziel or whatever the bus Brandon Whedon, whatever the bus quarterback might be. So a lot of times it's like not just where these guys, their talent, it's like the situation around them too.
So I would love to be in a meeting where they're strategizing for this. There's got to be so many variables they have to plan for.
If you ever want to know how a draft works, don't watch the movie Draft Day. It is a unbelievably entertaining bad movie though, but that is how I would sum it up. Oh, speaking of drafts, real quick, I do want to touch on the Caitlin Clark thing. So it was a big deal about like her salary that came out, and then Victor Wembanyama, he was the number one pick in the NBA draft last year. So I think Victor Wembanyama was a 4-year, $55 million contract. Caitlin Clark's was like 4-year, like basically about $400,000. Contract. So there was a much to do about that online, a big deal about that. What say you on, keep in mind the WNBA is owned by the NBA. So what say you on that?
So Caitlin Clark is now the most popular WNBA player. Mm-hmm. She sold 4 jerseys. She sold 4.
I will actually put Joe's just being facetious, but she actually did sell more jerseys than any NFL player at their peak. So I did see that. It was Trevor Lawrence at the time, and she actually sold, I don't know what the number is, but it's crazy. So I think she will be transcendent in that sport and boost up all the player salaries.
Part of building a brand is having identifiable players who are super talented. They 100%. Need her, but I think she's like the first in line of a WNBA player that I could name, know what they look like, and know what their skill is.
Here's my pushback to some people with that. One, and I don't want to get into the whole basic economics thing. We all understand supply and demand. If you don't have eyes watching things, if you don't have people buying tickets, then you don't have money to then pay your employees with. So, you know, there are a marginal amount of people that watch the WNBA, that go to their games and stuff like that. And then the NBA is obviously the next level. There's, you know, jersey sales in the millions. There's, you know, they have $100 million, if not into the billions, TV contract. And that's where your money comes from. So hopefully for Caitlin Clark, for the WNBA players, that is where they will make their bank. And like, she can be that Magic Johnson, Larry Bird that like helped lift it up her sport through the 80s. And maybe we see that growth in the WNBA, because like you said, you know, I can name a handful of WNBA players, but I couldn't name, you know, I could name at least probably five players on every NBA team. Whereas like, I couldn't tell you who the leading scorer was for Seattle or, you know, whatever, you know, the Vegas
Aces. The tough part is like, you even use the example of like the NFL versus the XFL.
Yeah.
Whenever you take an off brand, people are like totally committed to what they're used to. Yeah. You put a new one and it's not going to ever be as good as what people are used to. So that I look at WNBA as a development brand that they need to pay a lot of attention. Don't make it political, because that's suicide. Like, don't do it. Really build it around the identities of the people. These people are exceptional athletes, exceptional people.
Yes.
And as soon as a political firestorm dies down, develop the people we can connect with. Mm-hmm. I love LeBron. I love Kyrie. You know, we connect with the people that are on the back of the jerseys, not the game itself.
Yeah, no, that's no doubt. And like I said, I'm just going to use the Northeast Ohio market. There's no team in Cleveland. There's no team in Pittsburgh. There's no team in Columbus. There's no team in Buffalo. There's no team in Detroit. I think the closest team, if you were in Youngstown, Akron, Canton, Cleveland, to drive to would be Washington, D.C. or Indianapolis. So you're talking a minimum 5-hour drive from that market to see your favorite player play maybe once or twice a year. And, you know, that is something they have to look into as well. So I'm just throwing it out there. But for the WNBA, I pray for them that they can lift that up. I bought my daughter a Caitlin Clark shirt. You know, I think it's cool. I like it.
Three other people. I love it. It's great.
Not a jersey, a shirt. It's Caitlin Clark shirt. Never mind.
So we're back up on the board. But that's what it is. If you are a proponent of this,
like,
buy tickets to go see a game. Mm-hmm. It is not good enough to just go complain about it.
Amen.
You got to show with your dollars.
We talk about that in Youngstown all the time. It's like, oh, well, Youngstown like has this and that. It's like, well, then go support it. Go support it. Like, go eat at the local restaurants. Go support your businesses. It's Amen. The same thing. So it's like, don't talk about it. Be about it. Done.
Boom.
Off my soapbox. And I smell good too. So, all right. Back to the Browns draft real quick. I just want to go over their picks real quick. It's not the prettiest of numbers for picks, but right now, let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 picks. You got a second round pick, 54 overall, 85, 156 in the fifth round, no fourth round pick. You got 2 in the sixth round and 1 in the seventh round. If I am the Browns, I'm looking at defensive tackle, running back, linebacker, or wide receiver. Some people might say safety. I think the Browns are in a great position where they don't need to draft for need. They need to draft for ideally the best player that they like. So for the Browns, I think that is the best thing they can do.
Can I read the official Browns picks round by round?
A hypothetical situation.
Yeah, sure. These are
that first guy right there is from the 330 and played at Ohio State.
So we have a defensive tackle, we have a linebacker, we have a wide receiver. Oh, That's iffy.
I like Troy Franklin from Oregon. I also like Michael Hall from Ohio State. Two good picks there.
All right. Offensive tackle. So that's the first two rounds here. Let's see if they go deep in that. Yep.
Ooh.
And a corner. I like that pick.
Kamari Lassiter is from Georgia. He, that would be an interesting pick there.
Okay. Edge. I could see that. I could see a little rusher.
Mm-hmm.
Tackle
is also a position you might want to think about moving off of Jack Conklin's.
Please God, move off of Jack.
Because
I love Jack.
And Jed Wills is in the final year of his contract too, so you might want to take a developmental guy this year to be your potential starter with DeJuan Jones next year.
Two wide receivers in the first three rounds. I don't know about that.
Malachi Corley.
I they've done really well in free agency to take some wide receivers that's got some season on them. I think we avoid. Wide receivers are plentiful. I don't think they should waste draft picks on that. I think they should build their lines.
Okay. I will say, if that Troy Franklin's available, I would be all for that pick. He's good.
All right. Then a tight end. Yeah, we got David Njoku. Screw your tight end.
They do, I think, only have two tight ends on their roster, though. So might want to take a developmental guy.
Guard, absolutely, 100%. Linebacker, 100%. So linebackers, I agree with. Your tackles, I agree with. Mm-hmm. Edge rusher, that's one that I'm iffy on, but definitely not the wide receiver. So what do you think?
Well, you got Myles Garrett, who's not getting any younger, but he is in the prime of his career. So you probably got at least three more years of his prime left. You got Za'Darius Smith on the other side, but Za'Darius Smith is on a one-year deal. You have drafted a couple guys there, McGuire. Who was the guy that really stood out? He's a big dude from UAB. He's really come along last year. But, you know, it never hurts to draft, even at a position you're strong at. It's like, that's what I noticed the 49ers do. 49ers take what they're good at and build on it too. So if you got a great secondary, add to it, you know, like keep that churning, and maybe eventually you develop one of those guys, trade them off, acquire another pick for them in the future, where you're bringing in younger guys to, you know, 30% of your roster churns over every year, you know, whether.
So what's your biggest need position?
I would probably go defensive tackle or running back, because I'm thinking about the running back position. I don't know Nick Chubb's health coming into next year. I also, you know, no Kareem Hunt back this year, but you got a couple other guys behind him. You got, you got Jerome Ford. You have the guy they picked up from the Patriots, who's a nice player. And then you sign Nyheim Hines, who is more of like your kick returner guy, but he might be like a third down back, catch some passes out of the backfield. So I think, like, you know, two of those guys are on 1 year deals. So it's like, bring somebody in. Pierre Strong's the guy I was thinking of, but brings maybe somebody in to compete for a spot and maybe push one of those guys and see, you know, for Jerome Ford, he had some nice, like, flashy plays, but he also had a lot of losses behind the line of scrimmage. So it's like, let's see what we can do and go from there.
See, I think those positions are achievable after the draft. I think you dedicate on linebackers, corners, those tackles, those hard to claim spots.
I'm not opposed to that either. And I am a guy that's like, always, Amari Cooper might not be on the team next year. You know, and it's like, I'm always like, develop your wide receivers, get the best player you can. So that's another thing I'm thinking of here too. So with that said, Joe, there's one more thing I want to talk to you about. I'll revisit the NFL draft after it comes on, but we always talk a little bit about like what we're watching and stuff like that a little bit. So I've talked about like Curb Your Enthusiasm, love it. I've talked about Quiet on Set, which is a creepy documentary about Nickelodeon and how they treated kids on set. But there are two shows I have watched since the last time you and I did this, and they are unbelievable shows, and we don't have the time to go deep into them, but like, I just want to tell you about them.
I started a new one too. I'm hoping you'll say the one.
Okay. No, you go tell me first.
All right. Them.
Ooh, no.
Them. Oh, it's starring one of the guys that came out of Lost. The black dude, his son, his name is Walt, I believe. Okay. He stars in it. And this show is so much like the show Lost.
Them. And what, do you know what it's on? It feels like
it's on MGM.
MGM. Okay.
Then or them.
Okay.
I want to say it's.
Well, that's a big difference.
I know.
That feels like a time frame versus several people. All right. Them. Oh, so that might be on M. All right. Well,
I'm looking at it. You share yours. Okay. I'll find
it. So the one I'm going to actually say, the one I'm looking forward to watching soon, I have not watched it yet, is Fallout. I've heard that's.
Oh, I started watching that one too.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Okay. I have not seen it yet, but I've heard really good things from people I trust in that department. A great one. This one is awesome. It's still not in my top three, but The Gentlemen. It stars the main guy from White Lotus season two. It's on Netflix. It just came out about a month ago. It is an excellent show. But is it called From?
I was so damn close.
It was any four-letter word you could think of.
That's it.
So From MGM Plus, 2002, two seasons. Okay. That's a scary looking dude on
there. It's like Lost plus what was the zombie show? Walking Dead.
Okay.
You hybrid those. That's what you got with
From
them or
all the right. or whatever. I'll put that in my think tank up here.
You like scary horror stuff?
I do. It's not my favorite genre, but it's good. I'm gonna give you a show right now that will be your favorite of all shows that come out this year.
That's high.
It is. I'm not super into science fiction all the time. This show blew my mind. There's only one season. It came out March 21st on Netflix. It is called The Three Body Problem. And we'll talk about that more next week.
Oh, I'm noting that one.
It is. So the creators of Game of Thrones are the creators of this. Well, they have developed this show, but they know how the books end in this one. So I will say, watch The Three Body Problem. And when you think of three body problems, it's not like me, you, and somebody else. It's bodies are the suns. So it is mind blowing. It is so freaking good. It is my number one show of this year so far. And it's one of the best shows I've seen in a long, long time.
Can I share a disappointment with you?
Yeah.
This is horrible. Like, and this happens all the time. Yeah. And I hate it. And I got to do better research. I started the series, The Secrets We Tell.
Okay.
Started watching this, Secrets digging it. Storyline's awesome.
Yeah.
And it got to the end of the season and they freaking canceled it. There's so many unanswered questions I need to know. But that is the worst. It's the worst.
So they're keeping the rest of the secrets. They're not going to tell them.
Maybe that was the whole plan. Those bastards.
They know they're not going to spill the tea on that one. They're going to keep the secrets. Oh, but so please watch The Three Body Problem. That is it's eight episodes. They're about 45 minutes each. It is amazing. Amazing. Yes, there
are. So give me a primer. Like what's it about? Don't spoil, but primer.
No, but I can give you that I'll give you some details. So we're communicating, we're sending out signals to outer space. We receive something back. And it's how we react to what is told to us. And so good. But it's like an onion. There's like so many layers.
So am I going to guess that we reacted poorly to
the
signals?
There's a lot of poor reaction to this. But in season one, you don't get into you only get into like a little bit of how we react to it. There's a lot of drama that leads up to it. There's also mostly like, you know, character development and stuff like that. But it is all, and I will say episode five, what happens in that episode five, it involves like a cruise liner type ship. It'll blow your mind. Like I could not believe what I saw on TV. Like it was that good. It was like, holy shit. So
damn. So yeah. with Fallout, did you play any of the video games?
I have not seen it yet. I do not know anything about it except for I was told it was really good.
Okay. So it basically is after the video game series.
Okay.
There's a Fallout Shelter that it emulates and also the original Fallout. If you play the game, mm-hmm. the thing is awesome to watch because there's so many references to things you came to know. It follows the storyline a little bit, but it's more 80% movie, 20% video game.
Okay. So it sounds a little bit like The Last of Us, like apocalyptic for sure. type thing.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. So I'm looking forward to that whenever I can get around to that.
I think I'm on late season one. So okay. I'm pretty deep into it now.
Okay. All right. So we're going to be checking out Fallout. Hopefully, Joe, in his free time, which is probably never, can check out The Three Body Problem and also highly recommend The Gentlemen, also on Netflix. So, and if you haven't seen Curb Your Enthusiasm, go watch it. It's the best comedy on TV. So for Joe, I'm Justin. Enjoy the NFL draft. I'm not going to be able to do a podcast on Thursday. I'm going to try to put something out at some point, but until then, Go Cavs, go Guards.
Real quick, first two rounds on the first day. So we
First round is one day one, Thursday. Okay. So Thursday is round one.
Okay.
Round two and three are Friday. And then rounds four, five, six, and seven are Saturday. So, and that's like Saturday. So
Friday's afternoon. Our day.
Fridays are a big day for the Browns. I don't anticipate them trading up like 20 spots to get in the first round. So Browns fans, you can probably take the night off on Thursday unless you're really intrigued. And there should be some good drama in the first round, though. So you can watch the Cavs. And they play Thursday. And then, you know, just maybe check in on the NFL draft. So go Cavs, go Browns, go Guards. Everybody enjoy your day. For Joe, I'm Justin. Everybody have a great day. And we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio.
I left those up there, so if you want to.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. This is original Youngstown content.